13, our text for tonight is found, the 13th chapter of Exodus, the 17th and 18th verses. And I want to read tonight in your hearing from the New International Version. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. And the Israelites went out of Egypt armed for battle. You may be seated. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. I want to preach tonight about no shortcuts. No shortcuts. Look at somebody and say, this one is for me. Many years ago, when I was an undergraduate student at Howard University, I had the wonderful opportunity and the tremendous privilege to work, as did Dr. Major McGuire, under Dr. Harold A. Carter, Sr. at the New Shiloh Baptist Church in Baltimore, Maryland. What a joy it was to sit at his feet Sunday after Sunday and hear the gracious words of the gospel as they tumbled forth not only from his lips, but more importantly, from his soul. If I were to ask you tonight, what is the mark of a great sermon? How do you determine it? How do you define it? After all, you come to worship Sunday after Sunday, and you hear from this pulpit some of the greatest sermons ever preached from a human tongue. But how would you define a great sermon? If I could open the mic tonight and allow each one of you to come forth, there would be a myriad of different responses. But I have come to the undeniable conclusion that a great sermon is determined by one's ability to remember it. And how often do we hear people come from church and somebody ask, what did the preacher preach? I don't know what he preached. But all that I know is that it was good. Well, it's not worth much if you cannot recall its title and if you cannot recall its content. The mark of a great sermon must first be remembered. Secondly, the mark of a great sermon is it must be employed. I never cease to be amazed at how many people can fill up notebooks with notes from sermons, and there is not one discernible change in their lifestyle. Nothing changes at all in their attitude, and for what appears to be the balance of their days, they continue along the same continuum with no change at all. I was no more than 18 years old when I heard Dr. Carter preach a sermon entitled Highways and Byways. And the waste of the years have not taken away from my memory the content of that sermon. Dr. Carter spoke of how in his early years growing up in Selma, Alabama, he always had the opportunity to listen to his sainted mother and his preacher father tell not only him but all of his siblings how they were always to travel along the beaten paths of life. They did not speak to him simply from a geographical point of view, but they were speaking to him more emphatically from a spiritual point of view. He told us that morning that so many times when people take byways, which is a southern word for shortcut, there was always the possibility of some danger coming upon them. And that one does well when one travels the highways of life, the beaten paths of life, the paths that have been tried and tested. Because ultimately, upon the beaten path do we follow those who have gone on before us. And the beaten paths of life represent those tried and trusted paths that lead us not only to the way that is everlasting, but those paths lead us into what Jesus calls in this life the abundant life. I do not think that anybody would disagree with me tonight when I make bold the declaration that we live in a generation when so many people are caught up in immediate gratification. Seldom do we hear phrases like this: Rome was not built in a day. Seldom does anybody say good things come to those who wait. And for many of us, to echo the claims of the prophetic oracle of Isaiah, simply to be poetic, and we don't really attach those words to our living when he says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up on wings like an eagle, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. We live in a generation where people have what I call a microwave mentality. They want everything right now. It is no wonder that we live in a culture of violence. For young people, in so many instances, don't want to wait, but not only that, they don't want to work for what they can get. The television, the radio, the movie screen bring before all of us the glamour and the glitter of life. And young people see fine homes, fine cars, jewelry, fine clothes. The idea is to get all of this, but they don't want to work for it.